This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Discover Lafayette is recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work? We understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Today's focus is on music. In the studio today are Mark Broussard, internationally renowned singer-songwriter, known for his unique style of rhythm and blues and Bayou Soul, and Mark Falgu, owner of Blue Moon Saloon and Guesthouse, one of America's premier venues for roots music from around the world. And Mark also owns Warehouse 535. Both are here to talk about the South Louisiana Songwriters Festival and Workshop, known as SOLO, that launches this week on May 22nd, 2018. Gentlemen, welcome to Discover Lafayette. So glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Now look, we're going to start. There's so much to cover on this show. We're going to talk about the Songwriters Festival. And Mark Falgu, I'm going to let you start with the discussion. And then we'll kind of segue into Mark Broussard's involvement in the local creativity scene and why we're here today and Raider's contribution to this. So Mark, before we started, you were telling me the background about the Songwriters Festival and what it took for Lafayette, Louisiana to be on the radar internationally.
Well, I think we always have been, you know, and I think that's one of the things that we want to do is remind ourselves of who we are. Mm-hmm. I think we get lost with, obviously we have Festivals of Cayenne and Creole, which focuses on Cajun and Zydeco music, but you know, we also have Festival International. We bring people from around the world to downtown Lafayette. One of the things that's most important is that these folks from around the world that come get to meet people from Lafayette and realize how creative we are here.
Right.
So
right. Now, the Blue Moon Saloon, I know about it, and actually I'm neighbors with Catherine Scheffler.
My original partner, yes.
Yeah, yes. I was really interested in seeing that. I know her now as a mom in the community, you know. But tell me about that. You've been hosting acts here for years, and so that's what led you to this point, I guess. You've seen firsthand the creativity and the talent that we have here.
Well, it all started when I was 29, and the last of my grandparents died. So I'll give you a little backstory to get to, so you understand the backstory. And then all four of my grandparents spoke French as their first language, and I never did. So I said, well, you know what? Maybe it'd be important for me to learn to speak French. So one day, if I do have a family, I can kind of pass that tradition on and keep that going. So I did some research. I went to Alliance Francaise in Nice, studied there for a few months, for 3 or 4 years, then came back, and when I had to get back to work, I was looking for something a little bit different to do. You know, I love traveling. And then I realized while I was traveling, people said, man, I need to go see Lafayette because you talk so highly of it, and I didn't realize it. But, you know, you don't really realize what you have until you're not there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My idea was, you know, if I can't be traveling, I'd like to be around people who are. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, what do you do? Let's do a guest house that can bring people from around the world together. When you're traveling, you're backpacking, the only concern is what's on your back, what's clean enough to wear, what am I going to do today? Mm. So it's like, if I couldn't be around travelers, I'd like to be around people who are. And my idea was, if I walked into a town that I'd never been into before, what would I want to experience? Mm-hmm. You know, where would I want to stay first off? Somewhere near downtown. Some place that was clean, some place that had friendly employees, some place that was convenient to walking to see the area.
Affordable.
But affordable, very good. That's a very good point because you're traveling. So, and one of the things when you're traveling as opposed to vacationing, it's like if I've got $5,000 in my pocket, I can either make that last a week or 4 months. So what am I going to do if I can stretch my value? So that was one of the reasons why affordability is very important. But at the same time, when you're traveling, it's more than just seeing buildings. It's about meeting people. The beautiful part about a guest house, a hostel, was meeting folks not only from around the world, but meeting local people too. So that's what makes a town. You don't remember the church as much as you, that person that took you out into the basin or boiled your crawfish or cooked you an etouffee. So, and then at the end of the day, when I'm done sightseeing, what would I want to do? You know, I love music. So how about we get a cold beer and listen to some good music? So,
and crash in the back when
Back. So I kind of came up with this idea of what would be ideal for me. And then, you know, 18 years later, I found enough people with common mindset, and
right.
we are where we are today. So
let's talk about this week. We're here in May 2018, and this is our first South Louisiana Songwriters Festival and Workshop. And I understand without you and your wife, this may not have happened here this year. Can you talk about how this came about?
Well, yeah, my wife and I do own the Blue Moon and in Warehouse 535. And, you know, the music scene right now is... It's sluggish, to be honest. I mean, there's no two ways about that. It has something to do with the economy. I think it has mm-hmm. something to do with the new generation and technology. People don't feel the need. They have to leave their house to go experience whatever kind of entertainment that they're looking for. But the fact of the matter is that we're still a very creative place. Mm-hmm. And I think our focus has shifted a little bit. And I think that's what I tell people. It's not that the talent's not here. Maybe the interest is not there because people are looking at things differently than they did maybe 7-8 years ago when right. people would flock into the Blue Moon on a nightly basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my favorite stories is when Mark started, it was about the same time we opened the little bar in the back, and you know, and I paid Mark $1,000, I remember that, and the
wow.
cover, and the cover was $3. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going,
and that was probably a fortune to you, huh? Was that a lot?
I don't necessarily remember that specific show, but what I do know is that consistently Blue Moon is the place where we right. had the most fun mm-hmm. performing here in Lafayette. It was it to me represented the spirit that I had fallen in love with mm-hmm. when I was a 5-year-old little boy playing, you know, standing side stage watching my dad's bands play Downtown Alive. There was this really, really beautifully robust, and not even just Downtown Alive. I remember going to Antlers and watching them play. I remember being a part of when he was in the Boogie Kings and just seeing, like, there was always people there. There were always people willing to go out and see music.
Grant Street, you know, was big.
Grant Street was a boon for us when mm-hmm. I first came on the scene. Mm-hmm. We, you know, that venue was very, very special. And for whatever reason, we could talk about the reasons all day. I've definitely, you know, could theorize about some of the reasons why I think ticket sales are down in the area. But the bottom line is, Falgu has always been here, has been a mainstay here in town for people like me. And thank right. God that we had somebody so passionate about the arts here in town.
Right. So you saw the trends, how things are not happening, and you decided to do
something
about it.
Yeah, and, you know, have to try to figure out what it is, you know, what it is that we can do. Because, mm-hmm. you know, number one, we need to... it's our business, okay?
Right.
So you have to try to figure a way to generate traffic through the doors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more places in town that are offering live music right now, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, we're all kind of taking the same piece of the pie. That pie has not been growing. It's mm-hmm. actually been shrinking a little bit. So so then you look at it and say, okay, where does it start? It starts with songs. You know, you have to start with the songs. We've always
really
been
does.
A very performance-oriented mm-hmm. Environment. The Blue Moon, since we opened 18 years ago, has been focusing mainly on original music, you know?
Okay.
So we're bringing people in who have been working, kind of pouring their souls out. One of the frustrating things, you know, and it just needs to be said sometimes, the frustrating things about musicians is people think that it's a pastime or a hobby or whatever they do is mm-hmm. not worth their money to come into the door to pay. You know, it's like when I use this example all the time. I have three people coming in, and it's Mark Broussard's playing. It's $15, and you can see Mark Broussard for $15 and laughing. They're like, $45, man. What if I give you like 20 for three of us? Since
people
we're three
to
of
barter
us, you know.
Me?
And I'm going, well, listen, you know, if I tried that with my three kids and say, hey, look, I'll go to an orthodontist and say, instead of 15 grand, how about I give you a six if you do all three of my kids? You know
what
I mean?
Pair of braces, we'll just take them off. And yeah,
that would never happen.
It's a really important point. And this is getting into some deeper meat about mm-hmm. about the way economics and incentives work. But the truth of the matter is that we're talking about hard tickets and soft tickets. Lafayette is a very soft ticket friendly market. There are loads and loads of free shows.
Okay. Well, our festivals. I mean, everybody expects
tons and tons and tons of free shows.
Right.
And whether we like it or not, what develops in the social psyche mm-hmm. is a predisposition to free music. And what is an outgrowth of that is when you have to pay for music, you feel even more entitled to a good time than you would had you not had to pay. And so Lafayette, unfortunately, has made some pretty nasty headlines as a fan, as an audience base. In the last few years, you know, I think Alan Jackson incident happened not very long ago. A Ray LaMontagne incident happened not very long ago. I can personally attest to witnessing some fairly raucous crowds from time to time. I always attributed it to the fact that my shows were kind of like family and high school reunions. It never bothered me much, but it's definitely something that I think we need to address, because the truth of the matter is that if the artists from this area are not being successful in business, I promise you, and I know this because I know these artists, it is not because of lack of talent. It's because it's a part of the economy that's being underserved.
And the environment that they're in.
That's exactly right.
Right. So, Mark, I understand about, you know, sustaining Blue Moon. And what you're saying, Mark Broussard, about the environment we have where people expect to have something for free or to barter for it. What did you do to get this festival here? And let's talk about how important this is. You have, not you, I mean, it's our community at this point, but people are coming in from around the world for this. We're not just talking a small songwriters event.
Right.
This is a major event.
I mean, I picked up six people from London over the past 2 days that arrived here. And the thing is, it's kind of, you know, it's like Festival International. I love Festival International, not just because it's music from out of town, but we get tourists in. And they really appreciate our local music. You know, we have local bands that play every night of festival at the Blue Moon, because we want to showcase our culture for the folks coming in.
So travelers are used to paying, you know, going to hear talents.
Exactly, exactly. And look, I'm in the music business, and you know, one of the things we have to work together as a community, a music community, and like Mark said, it's not by lack of talent by any means.
Right.
So one of the things is, and I used this line before, it's a whole lot easier to walk to your mailbox and pick up a check for a song that you've written than it is to pack up the van and drive to Houston every weekend to get paid.
True.
You know. So, but a lot of folks don't know exactly how that craft works. They don't know the ins and the outs. They might write songs, but they're extremely talented. But if we could bring in writers who are professionals who do this for a living to sit down in a room for do an intensive kind of co-writing session, not necessarily just a mentoring session. They're going to go ahead. We're going to divide folks into groups of threes. Local professionals are professionals coming in from out of town, and aspiring professionals will be in there, and they're going to sit down and kind of share ideas.
So anything could happen.
Anything could happen.
Well, not just any writers, mind you. These are writers that have publishing relationships.
Right.
And that's really the most crucial aspect is that because Lafayette and really the state of Louisiana hasn't had a tremendous organized music industry for a very, very long time, the artists that have publishing relationships here aren't necessarily bringing those services along for the ride to introduce to the broader artist community. And with this festival, effectively, if we're partnering a local artist that doesn't have a relationship with a publisher at all, if we're putting them in a room with a writer who does have a publishing relationship, that writer automatically benefits from the publishing company that's going to work this writer's material.
Right.
So without it even having to ink a deal, we get a publishing company on board for our local writers just by pairing them with the right other writers.
And I know there are big names besides you, Mark, that are associated with this. Zachary Richard and other. Can you talk about some of the artists that will be here?
Honestly, you know, when
I hate to name
when I've gotten to look at the schedule, when the more that Mark has told me about exactly what he's bringing in for this thing, I'm just blown away, because Festival International is honestly my favorite festival in the world. And
you have played all over the world.
And I've played all over the world, played festivals everywhere. Mm-hmm. Culturally, there's nothing like it. Solo Fest, I think, stands to outshine it in certain respects. It's as culturally rich an environment, but it's presenting music in a different facet, in a different way. So if you have ever gone out to Festival International knowing that you were going to hear music that you have never heard of before, and banked on the fact that you were probably going to enjoy yourself, your risk assessment should be right in line with Solo Fest.
Right.
I think that it's going to be an incredible festival. Andy DeFranco, This Thursday night show is what I'm most looking forward to, because it's Ani DeFranco, Keith Frank, Princess Shaw, CC Adcock. It's going to be a spectacle of a show, mm-hmm. that I think that we really haven't seen the likes of in Lafayette before.
And this will be after 4 days. People will be working together, intense.
Yeah, that'll be Thursday. That'll be Thursday night. And so the thing is this: it's like, what brought the festival here?
Right.
It's like I reached out to David Hirschland, who was president of Bug Music. They mm-hmm. sold out to BMG. He's a VP of Bug now, based out in LA. Told him the idea that I had, what I wanted to do. He told me that BMG recently published, Buddy Holly catalog. Buddy Holly Foundation has been a sponsor of a songwriter's retreat in the UK for the past 7 years. So he mentioned the idea of what about if we did a retreat on the front end of a festival? We bring these writers in and put them together, and then we can do that. And then, so he talked about, where do we do it? They talked about bringing it into Nashville on the Music Row. They talked about bringing it into Austin during South By. They talked about maybe bringing it out to LA or, you know. And then, like I said, once we pitched the idea, David understands the talent that we have here. And for the Buddy Holly Foundation, for the board to vote on bringing this for the first time in the States to Lafayette over those other music
it's
towns.
It's incredible.
It shows the reputation that we have from the outside.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
These folks are willing to invest their money, their time. They're bringing their top writers to come in and work with our people because they want quality material, and they know we have the resources here.
And is that just a one-year commitment from the Buddy Holly Foundation?
No, I mean, they've gone ahead and given us a four-year commitment, mm-hmm. because they're committed to make this thing work.
Wow.
So that's the thing that, you know, a lot of folks take music for granted down here because we have it everywhere. But, you know, but the thing is, that's what I'm saying. It's the 30, 40 hour, 2 hour performance you see, you know, there's a lot
that goes
into that before it gets to that point. You know, and these folks sitting there and they're working hard at their craft. They're pouring their heart out, putting these songs out there, putting themselves out there, you know. That's hard, as hard as anything else we do for a living, you know?
It's not digging ditches, okay? Let me kind of break it down. It's not digging ditches, but mentally, like, for example, I'll just explain the process of writing a song and then very swiftly performing it in public. I can point to one specific example. When my grandmother passed away, as soon as I heard the news that my grandmother passed away, I got inspired to write a song, and I went out to my back shed and pulled out my computer, mm-hmm. and this is an incredible experience to write a song in this manner. It's not necessarily contingent that I go into great detail about the process of writing the song, but it was an incredible experience to write that song nonetheless. And I felt very strongly that it would be appropriate to present to my family at her funeral, which would have only been a couple or three days after this. So what happened was that mentally for 3 days straight, while in the process of grieving as well, I was playing the song in my head thousands of times over. My every ounce of intellectual capacity was occupied by the process of perfecting this thing as much as I possibly could, perfecting every little phrase, every little note, every little rhythm, mm-hmm. so that once I got it in front of my family at her funeral, I was able to do it automatically. I was able to make sure that I conveyed this thing the way it's intended to be conveyed. And that's really the hard work of artistry. It doesn't sound like, so that's why I say it's not digging ditches, but it's definitely taxing work. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is that this whole mission is just to convey a good time for some folks, just to pull them away from the daily grind of their lives, or to provide some sort of a catharsis at times, or just, you know, my mission at least has always been to make music to make records that had a song for every season, and a song for every mood. And I got choked up last night looking at the comment section on an Instagram post. I sang the national anthem at a Pelicans game a few weeks ago, and there's a post of a portion of the song that I sang, a portion of the performance on Instagram, and the comments, there are literally 150 comments saying, wow, chills, amazing, oh my God, oh my God. Those are incredible comments, right? But the things that really have given me juice, the things that really have given me the good stuff to keep on going are stories from people like the teacher who says, you know, I use your music in my classroom, or the music therapist who says, your music has helped me with my Alzheimer's patients more than anything else, or the guy who was comatose, got sucker punched outside of a bar, and was comatose for 30 days until his girlfriend brought in a stereo and put on one of my songs, and the guy starts tapping his finger and mouthing the words. Is that important work? Is my music, like, you know, miraculous? No. Okay, I'm not going to delude myself into thinking that I'm doing the Lord's work over here. However, the power that artists have to shape culture, I think, is unrivaled.
And I totally agree. And I have three things I'm thinking as you share. First of all, I do think it is God's work. I think that art transforms a community, and for the artist that can let it flow, it does change us. And so, Mark Falgu, as we think about what this solo fest is about, you know, Mark Broussard, you've been able to make it professionally, but so many artists don't have that opportunity. Like you said, we're living here in an area where a lot of us don't appreciate even how unique our culture is. And you do.
Yeah.
You bring people here, and other people come in and they see it.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't always see what we have to even know that we need to support our artists. And if they can't get their footing, they're not going to be able to sing at the Pelicans game. They're going to have to be working a day gig to have their love, you know, music.
Correct.
Writing. And so that's what I think is so special about this. Solo Fest is shining the light on our local talent, bringing in international resources, but also allowing these artists to maybe meet somebody that can say, like Mark Broussard, I don't even know how to get a producer. Like, what do I do? You know, they could be the next Mark Broussard, the next big act that just doesn't know how to get started.
It works on a lot of ways. Selfishly for me, I mean, I love music, so I love hearing new and exciting things come in my club. Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, if we can give these artists an extra tool in their toolbox, some extra connections, actually put them in front of the right industry folks, get them to understand how a publishing deal works, how do I go about and register my music, what's the right attorney to go? How do I protect myself? How do I work on getting either deals or developmental deals? Or just to put ourselves out there on that end, the business side of that for them. But also it's the industry, because now the state has tax credits for audio recordings. So we can bring folks in. These big companies can come in and rent our studio space. They can hire our musicians. They can pay our caterers. They can rent our hotel rooms. All of that goes to their bottom line, towards their tax credits. So you've got the national industry part. You've got teaching the local songwriters how not only to hone their craft, but also what to do with it once they get to that point.
Right.
You get more tourists coming in to see our local musicians, which translates into reigniting our local culture to come out and see the music scene again. This thing works on so many different levels, is what it is. And, you know, at the end of the day, if nothing else, I have met some really cool people, and hopefully all the people that are in this workshop will, have picked up something that they can take with them and move forward, you know?
I can't stress the importance of the publishing relationship and that publishing connection. You know, I put out these covers records every few years. I started a foundation called the SOS Foundation to raise money for charity through these covers projects. And when we make a covers album, I go after songs from a particular publisher's catalog. Mm-hmm. Because let's say I record music exclusively from Roundhill Music's catalog. Well, Roundhill has an entire PR department and a licensing department specifically focused on making sure that all versions of the songs that they own are worked as hard as they can. So just by recording material that's owned exclusively by a publisher, or by working with publisher writers at publishing companies, I get access to services within the industry that I don't have access on the outside. So, Mark, I can't thank you enough for bringing that incredibly important aspect. There are writers that are coming to this festival that, because of their publishing relationships, are making six figures, literally going out to the mailbox and coming back home, because their songs are being placed in film and TV.
Right.
And it's such an incredibly transformative, the revenue that I've been able to bring in from film and TV, for example, because it's Lanyap, I get to push into other aspects of promotion, which then increases all other aspects of my business. So it's an incredibly rewarding experience to be able to work with these kinds of writers.
And I think the success that you, Mark Broussard, have experienced really does reflect well on our community. And I'm just sitting here thinking, if I'm hearing this podcast, how do I even find out about this? Like, how do people, we're going to talk too about Mark Broussard's record label and what's going on this week, but how can people buy tickets? These are ticketed events, right? You're going to have 4 days of songwriting, and then there's going to be, I know, an event Thursday, then Friday night.
Actually, it'll start Wednesday. Mary Goche and Kimmy Rhodes.
Okay.
Coming in on Wednesday night. We have the Songs Over Style, which is the Ani DeFranco led around. That's going to be on Thursday night. You know, the beautiful part, like you said, you're excited about Thursday. I'm excited about Friday. There's so many aspects of this festival.
Well, First United Methodist, right?
First United Methodist.
Is that going to be cool?
Yeah. It's an amazing space. Acoustics are beautiful in there. And
is that a ticketed event?
It is a ticketed event. The tickets have to be purchased online ahead of time.
At
solosongwriters.com. But the concept of that is, we're going to go ahead tomorrow morning. We'll meet at 9:30 at the Juliet Hotel. We'll be about 40 people standing around in a room. People look around and be like, the first day of camp. You know, just got off the phone with Roddy Romero. He's like, man, I hadn't been to camp since the summer, since I was a kid, man. Thanks for the invite, you know. So we're going to hang around, and then they're going to go to a board, and they're going to see who they are assigned to.
It's like camp.
There's going to be the writing group, and then where's my writing space? And then we'll go to the writing space, and they're going to work together for about 6-7 hours a day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Friday at noon, we as organizers will go ahead, and we've been listening to these songs throughout the week, and we'll go ahead and pick probably the top 12 or 14 and say, you've been chosen to perform tonight at 8 o'clock. You have the afternoon to work on your final arrangements.
Oh, my.
And you get to world premiere your music that was created in Lafayette over the last 4 days.
Incredible.
So you'll get, as the public, get to hear stuff that came together in that time period, and I got chills just thinking about it.
It's so hard.
And that, and then you'll get to hear from the writers themselves about the process they went through, and what their inspiration was, and what the trade-off was, and how it got there. So you get the stories behind the songs.
Yeah, if you're a real fan of music, if you're a real fan of being in the know and being early on the scene, you couldn't possibly find a better place to be than at Solo Festival this week. It's going to be incredible.
And so then during the weekend, there will be other performances, I think, six different stages at your place.
Six different stages at the Blue Moon and at Warehouse 535. But before the performances at 1 o'clock on Saturday at Warehouse 535, there's going to be, we're going to kind of title it Solo Gives You the Business, and it'll be basically the 101 of music publishing. So this is for all the people who are musicians to come out and hear from David Hirschlin, hear from Dino Gankendorf, and to come and hear the business side of things. Okay, I wrote a song, now what do I do?
Right.
How do I register it?
How do I protect it?
How do I protect it? How do I see about getting it published? How do I, you know, so what do I do once it gets published? Who administers? How do I track it? Where does it go? So I do a cover, how do I go ahead?
Massively important stuff. Yeah. Look, I got a buddy of mine out of New Orleans, incredibly talented artist, made his own record, self-funded his own record, and uploaded it to, I forget exactly which platform he used, but because he just called himself Bobby Jr., the royalty statements ended up going to Bobby Bear Jr. instead of Bobby Schneck Jr., which is my buddy. So it's exceptionally important that artists know that there are certain aspects that you just, there's certain I's that you got to dot and T's that you got to cross. And if you don't, you can absolutely screw yourself out of loads of dough.
Yeah, and it's hard to make it up at that point to go to try.
It's exceptionally difficult.
This is one of the focuses, too. I know, Mark Broussard, with the launch of your new label, Artist Tone Records, you're focusing on local musicians. Like, this is your endeavor, and I know you're going to be highlighted on Sunday at an event that Raider Solutions is underwriting. So I think this all plays in with what we're talking about. You know, it's not the same music business it was 20 years ago.
No.
The royalties, people don't make money anymore just by selling their records. They don't sell their records.
It's, you know, the recording industry has only, recorded music has only been a source of revenue for people like me for maybe 150 or 180 years, right? I mean, it's not something that's as ancient as performing.
Right.
And so I really want to try my level best to help as many performers achieve success as possible. I've been able to do it. I've been a performer and recording artist for 16 years exclusively now. There's only one time where I had to go and get a job. Some extra work to help make Christmas happen. Thank you, Lane Mack.
Oh, really?
If anybody needs some cabinet finishing work done, y'all make sure to reach out to old Lane Mack.
I didn't know he did that.
He's the best in town by far. Anyways.
I know him through his music, so I'm learning.
And he's a great artist. Mm-hmm. He's a phenomenal artist. Anyways, again, there's just no organizing force here. Alan Toussaint was an organizing force when he was in his prime. You know, people like to think that you know, hit songs are just fall out of the sky, and they don't. The truth is that Alan Toussaint and an entire team of writers back in the day were picking songs and placing them with artists. There was also, in the 60s and 70s, there was a great network of contemporary covers going on. Mm-hmm. There were robust engagement and dynamic throughout all genres. And truth is that collaboration has been discounted in the modern era. As social media has come to revolutionize the way we conduct business, artists, at least on this side of the genre spectrum, have retreated into their own lanes. We've all kind of gone into our own little platforms and tried to curate our own audiences and keep them as engaged as possible. And so we further discounted collaboration and the effects that has as a movement, as a cultural movement. And so I'm trying to stem that tide. I'm trying to provide some sort of organization through two entities, one called the Artist Tone Records and the other called the Artist Tribune.
A news and entertainment website.
It's a news and entertainment website that's essentially, it's an editorial mission that is specifically created by artists like myself.
Right.
So in other words, imagine if Rolling Stone magazine at some point said, fire all of our editors. We're going to keep two of them just to make sure that these artists who write our editorials from now on, these rock stars that we're going to get to write our editorials from now on, don't sound like idiots. So I've got
I love it.
I've got a managing editor on board. And for your contributions as artists, what I'm offering in return is access to a facility that we've built in the Chase Towers downtown. It's a little video suite, much like this, you know, podcast suite that we're in right now. And for between 1,000 and 2,000 words of editorial space a month, and one performance video a month, we're going to provide some services in that facility and through our marketing partners at Potenza Inc. So it's really just about taking the things that I do already, which is spend dollars on content online,
right,
and opening that production up to other friends of mine in the community and saying, I'm gonna make a performance video. Instead of doing it with just myself, I'm gonna include you. And that same dollar that I used to spend on myself just went twice as far.
I love it. I've looked at it and read some of your words. Mm-hmm. The letter to your 20-year-old self.
Oh, yeah.
I was really touched by that. How many of us wish we could go back in time, but it was like a song. I don't know if you got a song out of that, but
I didn't.
To talk to yourself.
Yeah, so if you want to see some of the writing that I've already done, you can go to arttrib.com, arttrib.com, and hopefully in the next 6 months, we'll really, really start to ramp up the kind of content that we're putting out there.
So the Sunday event that's being sponsored by Raider Solutions, that's like the culmination of Solo Fest.
Correct.
And so, Mark, by that point, I know you're going to be a little tired, Mark Falgu, but that's going to be the end of a very successful first.
Well, I'm glad that it's here. We've been working on it for quite some time now. And, you know, and actually have that first person picked up at the airport, dropped off at the hotel. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's real, you know, and, you know, I think it's important that we try to get as much local community support as we can our first time out, because there's no doubt about it that the word's going to spread throughout the whole musical community worldwide, and folks will be coming in the future from everywhere to be experience this.
I think it's important to note that Mark Falgu has really leveraged himself very heavily to make this thing as incredible an experience as possible. It's a first-rate experience that these artists are going to get, and I guarantee you the word's going to travel fast, and we're going to start to see some bigger names come through this festival in the next few years.
No, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, and solofest.com, a festival pass for the shows on Wednesday night, Friday night, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday is $25.
What,
for
the whole week?
For the $25 festival pass for over 70 shows, it's, you know, it's less than 30 cents a piece. Come on. I mean, you know, look, you gotta.
Come on.
You know what I mean? We're doing that. There's a separate fee for the Thursday night show, which is $25. And then important part is we're going to celebrate one of our local songwriters who passed, David Egan, on Sunday. David, we're going to do the Dreamers Brunch, which will be a benefit for the David Egan Fund there as part of the community foundation. But that'll be a $50 ticket, and there'll be many of the different artists who are going to come in and perform songs of David Egan there for that Sunday. So, I mean, there's a lot of different levels here, and you know, we've been talking for a little while, and we still can't give you all the details of what's going to happen,
true.
You know?
It's true. Michael Ducé, Zachary Richard, Sean Bruce.
Just phenomenal talent.
Unreal.
And the real focus for me, and I have to tell on myself here, it's so easy to take our culture for granted.
Yeah.
Doing this podcast, Discover Lafayette, I'm discovering Lafayette. And we take it for granted. And I, you know, shame on me. When I looked at your site, Mark, you know, we were kidding about the music I listened to. I was a disco girl.
Right.
And I saw you had a disco night recently, and I thought, darn it. You know, Kelly, my daughter's here. She knows I would have been there. We take what we have here for granted, and it can't be sustained without community support, and that translates into community dollars. And I think other people are willing to come in and spend money, but we have to have things to show them.
Sure.
We have to have the Blue Moon open. We have to have Mark Broussard willing to be here, support this, and bring up our young artists.
Yeah.
And also sustain the artists that have been here for decades.
We got to cultivate this relationship with the fan base here again, you know. It's something that, again, I saw it in my lifetime. I saw people paying to get into clubs here in town in my lifetime. I remember vividly people going to pay $5 to see T.K. Hewland when my dad was in the band. I mean, it's not a foreign concept to pay for live music.
I'm not going to go into this much, but I really think, as cool as it is to have a free festival, I think we should be paying for talent. I think wondered about that.
At the very least, Festival International should start charging for main stage access.
Well, just have, you know, like you're
saying. Sell a $100 pass for the week to get into the main stage. It would revolutionize the landscape. If the people in this town understood what little resources Fest International actually gets pulled off with.
And all the volunteers and private dollars. And you said, you know, Mark Falgu's leveraged himself. I know this has been a labor of love.
Yes.
Well,
for you?
You know, one of the things you're talking about, Festival International, I was the president. I was on the board for 6 years, was vice president of programming. One of the things that we brought to the table probably about 12, 13 years ago, back when I was managing the Blue Runners and we're on the road, Vancouver Island Music Festival, we showed up and we had our main slot stage, but then they're like, oh yeah, by the way, at 4 o'clock, show up here at this tent and jump on stage with these two other bands, and we're gonna pick a topic. It's summer. Okay, Mark, sing a song about summer. Okay. So you have to, I don't know, I remember listening to this one when I was driving, and then the band would start playing and the other two bands would join in. The other two bands would join in, you know, and it would be like, wow. And it was these three completely different styles of music. Mm-hmm. But music was a common thread. So I brought that idea to Festival International, where we bring in international artists to sit in with a local band, what we call Rhythms and Roots, at the Blue Moon after festival each night there. So we bring artists who've never been together before.
Right.
They start playing, you know, you realize that, oh, some amazing jams come out of that, some amazing times. And I've had lots of people, the audience members, but also band members, telling me that's some of the favorite times of festivals, what happens in that stage after, because it's not scripted, you not know what's going to happen.
You're not performing per se, you're just creating.
And when you look at this solo fest schedule and you see all these names listed right here, and it's just one person's name, realize that they'll probably be riding with a lot of these other folks throughout the course of that week.
Yep.
And then so who's, just because their name's there doesn't mean there won't be two or three other artists who jump in there.
Yeah.
Yep. And how many times do we go to come back from seeing a show and say, man, the best was when Mark jumped up with that guy. Remember, were you there for that? No, I missed that. You know, it's like these.
You may very well see the birthings of new bands this week.
That it very well could happen, you know. And that's what I'm saying. And I tell that to folks. I don't even know what's going to happen. I know who we brought in, and I know we got some pretty creative people, and I know it's going to be some pretty electric stuff that goes on.
No, you may see the birthing of bands. You may see a show that will never happen again, ever, in the history of the world.
That's it. It's that one time.
It's one time and one time only. This is a really unique experience.
I want a commitment from you guys. I would like to hear more about this.
Done.
Later, when you've had a chance to, you know, get over this, savor the success. I really want to hear more about this. And I want to talk more, if we can, about what we can do as a community to support ourselves. Because this is within the music industry, but I think this is community-wide. I think this is bigger, and it's about our culture and sustaining it. So we're here with Jason Sikora, who does our sound recording on behalf of Raider Solutions here. Jason is a musician, and I know you always have some great questions, things we haven't covered. Is there anything you'd like to ask?
And of course, as I'm writing them down, you're asking them as if you can see them. Because I'm like, details. Once again, where can people get information and buy tickets?
Solosongwriters.com. There's a downloadable PDF, so you can print the full schedule out there.
Okay.
And it has the links to the ticket information there also.
Okay. And my questions are typically pull the curtain back a little bit.
Okay.
What was the hardest part about putting this together?
Well, I think the hardest part about pulling it together initially was, you know, we're selling a dream, we're selling a concept, we're asking people to commit to come to Lafayette to write for 4 days with people that they may know, they may not know. We had to call in a couple favors, where some of these publishers or the Buddy Holly ambassadors are saying, hey, look, do us a favor, and we need you to come to Lafayette for us. This is an inaugural event. And so we had to round the troops that way. The next thing is that, hey, you know, if you're going to do an event like this and provide that experience that Mark's talking about, that first-class experience, it costs money, you know what I mean? We're going to put people up. We're going to give them hospitality, just like when my wife's family was here for the past 8 days. When they left, they thought Lafayette was the best place in the world. You know, we want everyone who comes here for this event to leave there feeling the same. Fortunately,
so we're taking all of the artists that are involved in the workshops tomorrow night. We're out to Dockside Studio in Maurice for a big crawfish boil. I mean, Mark has really rolled out the red carpet here to make sure, again, that not only is this the most unique experience that fans in Lafayette would ever been able to be a part of, but also that the artists that are involved here are going to have an unforgettable experience.
Excellent. Is this going to be an annual thing? Is that the plan?
It's going to be an annual deal. That's the game plan. And we're scheduling on doing it at the same time next year, which will be the week before and the weekend of Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mark Broussard, typically one of my questions is, what is something about what you do that the normal person doesn't know? But I'm going to kind of answer that because I've been there, and that is that a musician isn't just a musician. They're running a business.
Yeah.
So can you kind of talk about that a little bit and reiterate why this is so important for upcoming artists?
Sure. Well, you know, as a class, artists are fairly lazy people. I will admit.
It's not just artists.
I will admit. There, as a class, we lack substantially skill sets in a wide array of areas. Technically, like the stuff that you're doing right now, Jason, sitting behind that sound console and making sure that everything sounds good. There's not a whole lot of artists out there that really can competently manage that kind of stuff. Same goes for you know, reading contract or legalese. Mm-hmm. It's not something that artists generally focus on, and it's at our detriment in a lot of ways because I was so lazy in the beginning parts of my career. I still to this day have to outsource virtually every aspect of my productions. You know, I have to hire musicians to come and back me up, as opposed to, you know, having fleshed out that skill set back and out when I was in high school, when I had more time to sit down and practice drums or what have you. And so, honestly, it's just the process of writing songs, first and foremost, is an exercise. And it's, and as such, it can be honed. Mm-hmm. It can be improved upon. And so bringing these songwriters in, putting writers here in town through the process of writing every single day for an entire week, hopefully gets us into a practice where we're going to be writing more often. In fact, my company is going to be starting a writer's workshop every week, so that just to corral the writers here in town every week to promote this experience, to promote this work ethic. The workshops, the Publishing 101 workshop through Solo Songwriters Fest, again, it's just providing artists with somebody and something tangible that's got some credibility, and some knowledge, you know, really seriously breaking down the processes, pulling that curtain back again, mm-hmm. Peeking behind the process, because it's not rocket science. And the truth is, if I've built a business, I built a culture within my company and within all of our various partners that we work with based on kindness and reliability and ease of contact and relationship. Mm-hmm. So I have very healthy relationships with virtually everybody that I've ever worked with in the industry. What's fascinating is that it's a complete anomaly in the industry.
yeah, I'd say. Yeah.
It's virtually impossible to find a promoter that doesn't give us doesn't heap praise on us every time we come through town. Mm-hmm. There are promoters out there that call us first whenever they have cancellations because we're so easy to work with. And so the point I'm getting at is that there are weaknesses in this industry based on the fact that people's attitudes are so poor. There are weaknesses inside of this industry based on the fact that people don't respond in timely fashion. I know for a fact that I've landed gigs because we were the first to respond, because my manager was the first to respond. Mm-hmm. Some potential booker that's got a nice corporate offer sends out three different emails to three different bands.
Yep.
And my manager is calling that person before the other people even respond via email. Yep. So again, these are weaknesses within the industry that I'd like to help the next generation of artists
get past them.
Understand so that they can exploit.
Well, and outside of the songwriting aspect of this, I think that's important is letting people know those things, be the first one to respond. We used to joke on the Goo Goo Dolls that they were the Jay Leno house band because they lived in LA, they had a lot of hits. And when somebody canceled, they'd call up Johnny Resnick, he'd respond and go right, and the next day they're on Jay Leno. And they,
beautiful.
Every single time somebody canceled, they were the first phone call because they responded. And they could
there
do it
is,
and that was important for them.
It's sometimes you just have to answer the phone.
Yep. Yep.
Well, cool. That's in any industry, you know.
It's
any
true.
Industry.
Sure. But musicians are, like mm-hmm. you said, tend to be a little bit lazier in responding.
Creative.
So yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for doing this. Thank you, Mark, for putting this together, and Mr. Broussard for coming down here and talking with us.
Thank you. Thank everyone for being here. I do want to put in this last plug. We've got the Solo Fest starting on May 22nd. And I want to mention again Mark Falgu's interest in this and getting the Buddy Holly Foundation to support it. And I also want to say to thank CREATE, our local government's culture, recreation, everything that's being done to bring in this type of enhancement for our community. So I do want to put that in. And to see all of the supporters and to look at the lineup, you can go to solosongwriters.com, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
And then is there a main website or is that it?
Solosongwriters.com. I have everything you need right there,
okay.
One spot.
And then as far as Mark Broussard's performance, we do have the Artist Tone Experience at Solo Festival on May 27th. That's going to be at 6 p.m. at Warehouse 535 in downtown Lafayette. And Sunday?
Yeah.
And Raider Solutions will be sponsoring that. So that's Sunday. Thank you. At 6 p.m. at Warehouse 535. And all this will be on that website we mentioned. I'd like to again thank Jason Sikora. And thank you for listening to this. This podcast and all of our podcasts can be heard on discoverlafayette.net. I'm Jan Swift with another episode of Discover Lafayette.